Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and one of the brightest guys I know. And Tim, thanks so much for agreeing to be with us, and I so appreciate your giving us an insight into polling and what things mean. Let's start with Trump's approval rating. How's he doing?
Yeah, his approval rating has been inching up just a little bit, a couple of points, so that when you look at the aggregate, it's up in the upper 30s, low 40s since the first of the year. There's been a bit of an improvement.
Now, I assume that some of his contemporary problems are not being considered because the poll is a little bit older, a couple of days older than his latest kerfuffles.
That's true. There is lag time, and we know that when things change, it takes a little while to sink into the political consciousness and then get picked up on polling data as well. So, yeah, there have been some issues lately with his the White House staff and domestic violence and the president's comments on it that may reflect themselves in some shifts in the job approval numbers in the next several days.
Well, he did get some credit, right, for his so-called tax cut. While many of us didn't really believe it was a tax cut, there were many people who did believe it, number one. And number two, his State of the Union address was well received.
Both are true. What we've seen, the first pay stubs for January were coming out in the last couple of weeks, and a lot of people saw a little bump in their pay, and the White House wasted no time in pointing out that was due to the changes in the tax code. Of course, what folks may not be aware of is that the long-term prospects for the tax rates are such that these are short-term gains at the moment. They might not be long-term gains, but that may have given him a bump. The unemployment rate stayed steady, and the jobs report that came out a week ago Friday, 4.1%, almost full employment, and wages are inching up as well. So those are all factors that may be contributing to his improved standing.
And yet we have seen tremendous volatility in the stock market.
Yeah, and that was an interesting contrast in style and rhetorical style between President Trump and President Obama. So President Trump had been taking credit for the booming stock market, reaching new heights, cracking 25,000 on the Dow. And then there was this significant drop in the markets last week, not just in the United States, but in Europe and Asia as well. And economists were not surprised by it. They felt the markets had become overheated, that we were due for a correction, in part because there's talk about interest rates going up here and abroad to stave off inflation. And so the administration then came into some criticism, saying, well, you're going to claim credit for a hot stock market. Are you also going to take the blame for these significant losses? The Dow dropping by more than 1,000 points in one day, one of the worst days on Wall Street in the past several years. And Obama aides said, oh, that's why we never, ever took credit for the stock market, because it will just come back to haunt you in the end.
Well, let's go to Senator Elizabeth Warren. She has a re-election campaign 2018, and there are those people who are thinking of her on a national ticket in 2020. What do you make of all of that?
Yeah, the 2018 Senate race is going to be interesting, not so much because the outcome is that much in question. Pundits who rate Senate seats are definitely assigning a safe Democrat category to the seat from Massachusetts. But this will be an opportunity for interest groups, for political action committees to try out campaign themes and messages in the Massachusetts Senate race that they might then turn around and deploy should Senator Warren run for president in 2020. So in a way, this will be the state of Massachusetts. The voters here will be like one big focus group for the 2018 cycle on what messages may or may not resonate for 2020 should Elizabeth Warren run for president.
Do you think there's a legitimate prospect that she could run for president?
I think she has, only she knows for sure, but her from outward appearances, she doesn't seem to have ruled it out. She's made a concerted effort to beef up her foreign policy credentials. She got a seat on the Senate Armed Services Committee. She staffed up significantly in terms of foreign policy as well. And so she certainly seems to be taking a look at it. But again, she, I would imagine, does not want to look beyond the midterms. Even though her seat is safe, there's a lot of work to be done for colleagues running in states where seats are more precarious. She's a potent fundraiser for the party. She'll have her dance card pretty full for 2018, even while she may be thinking about 2020.
So have you ever polled somehow to figure out how much misogyny is out there?
A while ago, I have to say, in the 2008 cycle, this was way back when, even before I came to Western New England, I was doing polling at Rutgers, and we did some polling in anticipation of Hillary Clinton's first run for the presidency. And it's hard to pick up, as you can imagine. People who may harbor misogynistic attitudes, much the way people who may harbor racist attitudes, it's very difficult, to tease out those questions. And so you ask things like, setting aside your own personal views, do you think the country is ready for, and then fill in the blank, a woman president, an African-American president? And you'll see some indication, even though people say, well, I have no trouble with that, but I sure think people around me would, that you might see some indication that something is going on there. So while it's difficult to measure, it's difficult to tease out, there have been some interesting attempts to try to measure attitudes like misogyny, not publicly acceptable attitudes, but perhaps held by some significant part of the population.
So you're a political scientist. Tell me, Tim Versalotti, do you think Hillary Clinton lost significant portions of the vote because she's a woman?
This is a tough one. No, I don't think she lost significant portions of the vote. She may have lost small portions of the vote, and in the end, that's all it took. Under 80,000 votes spread across three states, for whatever reason, that could have been one of the factors. Hillary Clinton faced headwinds on all sorts of fronts, though, not just based on gender, but just based on the Clinton brand and based on the treatment of her emails by the FBI. And there were a whole host of factors that went into her defeat.
And is it your sense that she could run and again this time? I mean, a lot of people are saying to me they think she's going to run and that she's raising money.
I think that would be a mistake. I think in politics, one has an opportunity, a time
to grab the golden ring.
Yeah, and you can't get it back. I've read talk of John Kerry as a candidate in 2020. Well, he'll be 77 for one thing, but
yeah,
I think Kerry is among those individuals who think you have your time, you have your moment, and you make the best of it, and it just doesn't come around again.
We love talking to Tim Versalotti. He's the director of the Western New England University Poll and professor of political science. Tim, thanks so much for being with us. Come back the next time. I want to talk to you about the 2018 midterms and what's evolving there.
I'm looking forward to it.